Ladies and gentlemen, I've got 7 o'clock. At this time, we'll bring our meeting to order. If you will, Ms. James, would you please call a roll to the City Council?
The Honorable Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Honorable Hattie Portis Jones.
Present.
Honorable Ulysses J. Smallwood.
Present.
Honorable Linda J. Davis.
Present.
Honorable Alex Heath.
Present.
Honorable Samantha Hudson.
Present.
Mr. Mayor, you have a quorum.
Okay. At this time, I will ask everyone to please stand if they can. And Pastor Dearest Cotto, First Baptist Church of Fairfield, please come forward.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you for the privilege that you give us to come before you as the city of Fairburn, Lord. Thank you for Mayor Avery, Lord. Thank you for his leadership team, Lord. And Lord, we are so grateful what's going on in our city. We just continue, Lord, to lift them up in prayer so you can give them wisdom, Lord, to give them clarity, to guide us, Lord, in the path that you want us for us to be. We pray for everything that is done and said and voted on tonight that could be your will. We pray, Lord, for our police department, our fire department. We pray that you protect them as they protect us. We love you, we thank you, and we ask for this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this time, we have a presentation. You want to go ahead, Chief? Can I do this, Chief, with this presentation? Sure. Can I ask our members of council, if you don't mind? Can we stand down here, and that way we can,
yes.
If you don't mind? I should appreciate it.
We have a Fairburn Police Department Life-Saving Award presentation.
Gotta tag along. All right. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Come before you tonight to bring your attention to Officer Raheem Harris. I received a letter of commendation from two EMTs following a call that Officer Harris responded to, and I'd like to read you a few excerpts from the letter. On March 7th, 2024, Grady Unit was dispatched to Aaron Point for a 64-year-old male unresponsive. Officer Harris was working his cardiac arrest on his own and giving his all to provide CPR to this patient. Officer Harris was pouring sweat, completing a full cycle of single rescuer CPR in a tight, cramped room, but never stopped compressions. Officer Harris assisted us in getting the patient onto the floor and was prepared to continue assisting us in rendering aid to this patient. I could not be more pleased to share that after receiving an update on March 8th, the patient was in ICU for further assessment. As someone who does this for a living, I can honestly say that working a code with a team of responders is far from easy. It is almost always chaotic, emotionally draining, and physically exhausting. Officer Harris not only handled it, making it look effortless on his own, despite his obvious exhaustion, he never let up on providing adequate, continuous compressions and continuing to assist us is beyond remarkable. His fast-acting, selfless heroism, like Officer Harris displayed, that surely contributed to this patient's outcome, increasing his chance of survival. Officer Harris was extremely helpful and the real hero on this call and deserves to be recognized for his exemplary actions. The City of Fairburn, our community, and South Fulton Grady EMS are lucky to have such a fine officer among us. We, as the responding EMS crew, could not be more thankful for Officer Harris and the other officers for all they did. Job well done. Sincerely, Harry Rodriguez and Joseph Hinson, EMTs. So we are presenting Officer Harris with the Fairburn Police Department Life-Saving Award here tonight.
Thank you. A little challenge going.
This is for the life saving Lord. You wear that for a year. Well done. Okay. I just want to say thank you. We do this job every day, and you go to these calls, and you don't know the outcome or what's going to happen. But we do this job for a reason, and we just never give up. And as you can see, it was a good outcome this time. So thank you all. Appreciate it.
Next, we will have a presentation celebrating 100 years of National League of Cities.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next proclamation in this case is celebration. In this case, I'm actually going to yield to one of our city council members that's actually a board member for the National League of Cities, which is an honor for our city council and our city government as a whole. So what I'm going to ask Ms. Hattie Portis-Jones, would you please come forward, and as a board member of the National League of Cities, I want you to read this into the public record, if you don't mind.
Well, thank you so much, Mayor. I am so honored to have this opportunity to read this proclamation on behalf of the National League of Cities, but more specifically for my city, our city, the city of Fairburn. This is a proclamation celebrating the centennial or 100th anniversary of the National League of Cities and designating May 2024 as National Cities, Towns, and Villages Month. So bear with me with this proclamation. There's a lot of history, but a very important history here. Whereas the National League of Cities was founded in 1924 in Lawrence, Kansas, as American Municipal Association by state municipal leagues seeking more coordination and national representation as city, towns, and villages. And whereas the nonpartisan NLC, National League of Cities, is the oldest and largest organization representing more than 19,000 municipal governments in 49 states throughout the United States to strengthen local leadership, drive innovation, and influence federal policies that impact local programs and operations. And whereas NLC, as the voice of cities, towns, and villages, has successfully championed in Washington, D.C., federal legislative solutions that support municipalities and work closely with Congress and the executive branch to educate policymakers on the realities of local implementations. Whereas the city of Fairburn, Georgia, is a proud member of the National League of Cities and has benefited from the organization's research, expertise, federal advocacy, and opportunities to gain experiences from other local governments. And whereas the city of Fairburn has been a member of the National League of Cities since 1990, and during the 34 years of its membership, Fairburn's mayors and council members, previously and currently, have served in leadership roles and continues to be actively involved in LC and significantly contribute to its success and advocacy on behalf of Fairburn. And whereas local governments are the bedrock of American democracy, providing 336 million residents with the most accountable, responsive, inclusive, ethical, and transparent government in the world. And whereas from the nation's smallest village to the largest cities, Americans' local governments have been essential in transforming the United States of America into the greatest, most influential nation in world history. And whereas Fairburn was incorporated in 1854 and is proudly served today by mayor and six council members and a municipal workforce of 100 dedicated public servants. And now, therefore, on behalf of Mario B. Avery, the mayor of the city of Fairburn, along with Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore, City Council members Linda J. Davis, Alex Heath, Samantha Hudson, yours truly, Hattie Portis Jones, and Ulysses Small. We met in March in Washington, which is called our Congressional Cities Summit. It happens every year in March. But part of the agenda for the board meeting was to talk about the celebration for the 100th anniversary of the National League of Cities. All board members were given a pen designated NLC 100. I was able to acquire pens for my mayor and city council, and I'd like to share it with also our administrator and assistant administrator. And I ask that you wear the pens proudly, representing Fairburn's role in the National League of Cities, and I hope that all of you will join us in Tampa this November for the culmination of the 100th anniversary. Thank you.
Again, thank you so much, Ms. Hattie Portis-Jones. Just want to thank all the members of council that has been a supportive member of the National League of City, both current and former council members. And I want to thank the former mayors, Mayor Hanna and Mayor Hirsch, who were both involved in the National League of City. So I want to thank those former mayors as well. With that being said, thank you so much. Can we take a picture with this proclamation before we... Members of council, you have before you a printed agenda. Can I entertain a motion to adopt this city council agenda?
So move.
Second.
Motion's made by Mayor Pro Tem, second by Mr. Smallwood. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. I don't have any public comment, people to speak in public comment. So next item, can request a motion to approve the city council minutes that commenced on April 8th, 2024. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and properly second by Ms. Hudson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. I don't have a public. Go ahead.
The first item on the agenda is ordinance to amend the purchasing policy It is a request for Mayor and Council approval of an ordinance to amend Chapter 2, Article 5, Division 3 of the Code of Ordinances of Fairburn, Georgia, as to adopt a purchasing policy to repeal conflicting ordinances.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Come before you tonight to update our purchasing policy. As you may remember, we updated our purchasing policy last year on May the 8th. I think that was the...
It's not working.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you. Come before you tonight to update our purchasing policy. As you may remember, we updated the purchasing policy last year, May 8th, 2023. That was the first time it had been updated in, I think, about 8 years. What we have learned with Ms. Little coming on board in the last year and working with our auditors through our year-end process is that we still needed to tidy up some things in our purchasing policy. So the only item that's changing in this policy is on page 9, at the top of page 9, and that's on the screen right now. And this basically says, for all public works construction projects using federal or state funds through the Georgia Department of Transportation, the City of Fairburn shall use the procurement methods established by the GDOT to comply with GDOT regulations. Federal subsection 200.214, suspension and debarment. Now, I really want to point out this section because this is one that this part wasn't in there. Anytime we give out contracts, we need to check the suspension and debarment list to make sure that those contractors are not debarred or suspended by the federal government. We had our directors who did it, but it wasn't in the policy. So, and that's what auditors are looking for. So when we get DOT funds, they have their own auditors. One of their auditors pointed this out to me. So this is the only change that we're making to the policy this year.
Okay. Members of council, well, in this case, is it? Let me bring the item to the floor. Members of council, you have before you an item that's been read by the finance director. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and probably seconded. Is there any comments by council? Go ahead, Ms. Hudson, you had a question.
You said this was a recommendation made by the auditors?
Federal audit.
By a federal audit, Fairburn?
The Georgia Department of Transportation, okay. The Federal Highway Administration, they have their own auditors, and he pointed out that this was not cited, that it was done.
Okay. No further questions.
Okay.
Ms. Davis?
Yes, just for clarification.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you tell us who Ms. Little is in her position here?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Little, Ms. Tyra Little is our procurement manager. As many of you have may know or not have known, our procurement was decentralized for a number of years. When this administration came on board, they said we need a procurement manager. And now having Ms. Little here with her vast experience, she catches a lot of stuff. I can tell you this agenda tonight was gonna be a lot longer before it got to Ms. Little. So if it doesn't pass the Ms. Little test, it won't make it to you.
Yeah.
So yes, ma'am, Ms. Little is our procurement manager. She joined us last spring.
If I may, Mayor, just add, we went through an exhaustive recruitment process for this position.
Speaking to Mike, so nobody can hear you.
Oh. She doesn't have one.
And has helped to ensure that cities are in compliance. And so her experience has been a real asset for us. We needed someone that had experience starting a procurement department because, to my knowledge, the City of Fairburn had never had a department assigned for this task. And so just in the brief time she's been here, a little less than a year, her presence has made a tremendous difference. And so just wanted to acknowledge her wealth of experience. This was not just another hire. We were very fortunate to get somebody who had a real level of expertise. I know the mayor does this at the county level, and so he knows full well how important this is. And as we continue to look at the projects that this council has identified as priorities, it only emphasizes the importance of having someone like Ms. Little on board.
Any other member of council? Okay. Well, I was, Mr. Phillips actually summed it up real short for me, and that is, as we actually was going through the government, all of 2021 and 22, we set several priorities in order. Part of the State of City Address that you didn't hear about when I talked about those 64 slides, I was actually going to, three or four of them was going to actually be talking about Ms. Little, but as he mentioned it, I didn't have enough hours in a day for me to talk about everything. And so this is one area that is just so critical for me personally, but the members of this body has expressed that this is imperative. So with that being said, thank you so much. With that being said, no other comment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Next, we will have a finance director monthly report.
Good evening, it's me again. Just me tonight. All right.
Brian, I think.
Okay. All right. I want to bring before you the financials through March 31st. As you know, this is at our mid-year point, so we're about 50% through our fiscal year. The City of Fairburn's general fund 6 month, we ended our general fund 6 month operations with $8.4 million in cash flow, in net cash flow. The general fund has generated $18.6 million in revenue, $10.2 million in general fund expenditures. The city has collected 69% of our budgeted revenues. As of March 31st, 2024, we have expensed about 37% of our budget. Property and local sales option tax revenue. Real property tax represents about 38% of general fund revenue, and lost represents about 10% of general fund revenue. As we move on here to the next slide, you can see here our year-to-date revenue, as I just said, is about $18.6 million. Our budget is almost $27.1 million. When we look at the monthly, I have to get you to advance it, Mike. Sorry. For the month of March, you can see at the very bottom, we collected a little over $1 million in revenue. And again, that year-to-date revenue was $18.6 million, which is 69% of our budgeted revenues. Moving over to the expense side, you can see the expenses by department. Year-to-date expenditures are about $10.1 million, which is about 35% of what we budgeted. The total expenditure budget is $29.1 million. Property tax revenue here, and I will note a change on this on your slide. It might say 95.98 as far as collected. That should read 97%. The math was a little off on that, and I looked at it when I got back today. So property tax revenue, we have collected 97% approximately of what we billed out in property taxes. Moving to our enterprise funds, City of Fairburn's enterprise fund ended the 6 month as of March 31st with a $2.3 million net cash flow. To date, the enterprise fund has generated $10.6 million in revenue and a little over $8.3 million in expenditures. The city has collected 42% of our budgeted revenues. Now, ideally, we'd like to be at 50% of our budgeted revenues, but as we know, utilities have been a challenge. So 42% is where we're at right now. To date, the city has expensed about 33% of the enterprise fund budget. Reflecting back to the prior slide, you can see here our year-to-date revenue is $10.6 million. The budget is $25 million. 42%, you can see here our March totals, what we collected in revenue for the month of March. Column up under March 24, $1.976 million. That's about 42% of our year-to-date revenues collected. Moving to our expenditure slide, when it comes to our enterprise funds, you can see here our budget again is $25 million. Our year-to-date expenditures are about $8.4 million. And that will conclude the finance report for the first 6 months of the fiscal year 2024.
Does any member of council have a question regarding the financial report that you just heard?
I have some questions.
Yes, ma'am.
At the retreat, you informed us that there was an audit, our audit, ACFR, indicated irregularities in our audit. That audit is not posted.
Correct.
To the public website.
That was a draft.
Okay.
Don't post it until we get the final.
When will we have the final?
I reached out to the auditors on the 12th. And they told me it'd be about 7 to 10 business days from that. And I actually ordered a hard copy for each one of y'all.
Okay. When was the audit conducted? Just trying to.
They got here mid-January.
Okay.
And they've been ongoing work. Well, I'll take that back. They started working mid-January.
Okay.
They came on site for about a week.
Okay.
Most of our stuff since the pandemic with them is done electronically. They have a secure portal. But over the last 2.5 months, we've been going back and forth and back and forth. But they did send me a draft of the audit that we talked about at the retreat. So they give us an opportunity to address audit findings at that time and see if we agree with them before they actually publish the final report.
Okay. Specifically, you talked about ARPA.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you give a little bit more information about what was found on that audit with ARPA funds?
It's I'm be honest with you, Councilwoman Hudson, it's exactly what we addressed in this purchasing policy tonight, not following our purchasing policy as far as checking people for the suspension and debarment list. And it's a little bit more highlighted when it's federal funds. And I can tell you right now I'm working on a report for ARPA for the last 12 months that's due by April 30th. So I have to put in every project and every dollar that we spent. So that's another reason why we addressed it. It wasn't just the highway audit that brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was our own financial audit saying you're not following your process. You're not checking that suspension and debarment list. So that's just something we needed to clean up.
With ARPA, there are some consequences for not appropriately using that funds.
Mm-hmm.
What is those consequences, or do we know now?
We wouldn't know at this point.
Can he answer the question, please?
No, ma'am. You can defer to the city administrator, his superior.
He wasn't even finished with his sentence before he let him finish with his sentence first.
Go ahead, Mr. Stevens, and then I'll follow up.
Sure. We wouldn't know at this point, Councilwoman.
Thank you.
We wouldn't know at this point if there are any penalties. Sometimes, again, you would get an audit found out. That audit was found by an internal city audit. You know what we do at Malden and Jenkins. That irregularity, usually when you have a penalty or something like that, that's for the direct misappropriation of funds.
Okay.
You haven't done any of that, I can assure you that. But you're right, sometimes they do come with penalties. I'm pretty confident we won't have to give any money back. I'll tell you, we haven't done anything like that.
So I always want you to be informed on why I'm asking those questions, because we know it's federal funding.
Mm-hmm.
We know that ARPA funding was allocated during the pandemic for infrastructure, water, sewer, and broadband, right? My concern is wanted to see that audit, wanted to understand more about what happened. You are bringing a solution today, and you were very clear and transparent today. So I have no more questions for you at this time.
And I will add, even though it's for those infrastructure things, some cities, we claimed it as lost revenue. So in those cases, you can lose it for any city functions that you might have lost revenue to cover. So it's not just infrastructure. There are other things. When you claim it as lost revenue in that particular category, which we did, and they allow that if you got under $10 million, then you can use it for other city services. We could have transferred the whole thing to the general fund, but we didn't do that. But that's just a small note. I want to make sure that we get on the record that we can use it for other projects outside of water infrastructure and things like that.
And so there is a expense and project report that goes with that, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Working on it right now.
Thank you.
So City Administrator, go ahead.
So thank you, Mr. Stevens. I just wanted to add a little additional clarity As Mr. Stevens pointed out, we utilize the option that is allowed by the federal government to take the $6.2 million in ARPA funds that the city received as loss revenue recovery. That option allows us to use it for various projects at the city council's discretion, as we have done. We have reported annually on all of the ARPA funds that we have spent year to date, well, actually, since we received the funds. So there have been multiple reports to the federal government as it relates to the city's use of ARPA funds. The suspension and debarment list was something we needed to update in our process. And as Mr. Stevens correctly pointed out, we've made that update tonight with council support, and we had not done that previously, which is the finding that we discussed at the retreat. But I wanted to be very clear, there have been no misuse of federal funds. There's been no misuse of ARPA funds. We've reported on every dollar that we've spent, and there's been no penalties or anything related to misuse of funds. And so we've corrected the reporting on suspension and department listing. With your support this evening, it is now a part of our ordinance moving forward. You will see that in the final audit as we discuss at the retreat, which we hope to have in the next 7 to 10 days. We always post our audit every year on the website. We always give a copy to each and every elected official. And so that process will continue again this year as soon as it is completed. What we discussed, as Mr. Stevens correctly pointed out at the retreat, was a draft of the audit. That process actually starts in October when we bring in a CPA that takes the entire city financials for the year through a process to ensure that everything is aligned so that when Maudlin and Jenkins arrive in January, they have the information they need to start the audit process. So we've been working on this now. Mr. Stevens, would you say since October?
Yeah, we leave the year open, the previous year, up until December. So his work really can't just start until about mid-December. But he comes in and works with us probably 2-3 months, and he overlaps the auditors. They know him. I worked with him 15 years ago in College Park.
Right.
So he's a well-known CPA that works with a lot of cities over in the South Metro. So, yeah, the process is it's long, it's tedious, but I'm glad it's over. We can move on and start talking about budget.
And every year, this window to complete the audit typically runs to about this time. It varies by a few weeks either way, depending on the year. So we're within the normal time to complete our annual audit. So I just wanted to add that for clarity as well.
Ms. Hudson, you still have the floor. You got anything?
Thank you for the clarity, Mr. Stevens. But I want to, not for you, Mr. Phillips, when you just now, he presented that he's going to give us a copy of that. Let's make sure that your communication and my request for records is not convoluted with a council request where there's legal attorneys involved. The request that I made regarding this audit could have simply got the response that he gave today. All of that political jargon and evading, all of that has to stop. Thank you so much. I have nothing else to say.
Let me say this publicly, ladies and gentlemen, members of council, that when a request comes in from a member of council, we share it pretty much, as you can see, we share it with all the members of council. That way, regardless of the question for everyone. When it's all said and done, ladies and gentlemen, the gentleman that's paid to give us the information that for the day-to-day operations, regardless of the department head, in this case, the city administrator. So, again, his presentation or his choice of words in terms of how he presents responses is acceptable to me, and thus far it's never been a problem with any members of council. So I just want to say we're going to continue to be transparent. We're going to continue to move forward. Members of council, does anybody else have a question about the financial report that was actually presented?
Go ahead. We discussed this, I believe, last meeting. We are in the final year of ARPA dollars, is that correct?
We have until December 31st to make sure they're obligated. We have until December 31st, 2026 to actually expense them.
Okay, and I want to say that when the city of Fairburn received those dollars, this body deliberated on and established a budget on how we were going to spend those dollars. Councilwoman Hudson was not here at the time, so I think is it appropriate for her to receive the information regarding how we could use those dollars and the budget that we establish for allocating those dollars. So if you could, and actually, it probably would benefit all of us to just see that again, because it's been a while since we've established that budget. So could we just do that?
Sure.
Just for, to bring her up to speed on that, and to remind us on of the decisions that we made about how we wanted to spend those dollars.
Absolutely, we can provide that information. Some of the other references are to some other issues that you've all been copied on, but to answer your question, yes, we can do that.
All right, thank you.
Any other members of council? Seeing none.
Next, you ready to go ahead?
Go ahead, next.
Next, we will have the city administrator's monthly report.
Good evening, members of council and mayor. I wanted to take an opportunity, actually you received two city administrator reports because we only had a single meeting the previous month. So I wanna cover a few highlights from the month of February and March. Hopefully each of you have received your copy of these reports and have had a chance to read them. For the month of February, we celebrated our Black History Month event here in the city of Fairburn. We had cultural performances, music, theater, and dance, and we actually hosted the African American Inventors Exhibit, showcasing major inventions from A to Z at the Fairburn Annex. It's a wonderful display that we were able to bring forth for our Black History Month celebration. Also in the month of February, we had the recognition of Heart Health Month. Our HR department and the wellness team held the Rock the Heartbeat Blood Pressure Check event in partnership with the Fulton County Board of Health and the Fairburn Fire Department. Our Parks and Recreation Department had their mother, son, father, daughter sneaker ball. We had over 55 participants. It was a wonderful event. We also hosted our Fairburn Blood Drive on February 28th. And the Parks and Recreation Department did their Girls Guide Girls Mentoring Program kick off in February, and we closed out our parks master plan survey with 284 responses. Our Sensational Seniors, which is always a highlight, had a health and wellness presentation, Know Your Numbers, during the month of February. And of course, our weekly programs in park recreation that month were youth basketball, youth track and field, and our weekly senior programs every week, walking club, chair aerobics, line dancing, chair one, chair yoga, and the bowling league. Also, during the month of March, we received $315,000 in CDBG funding for the Go Lightly Street Rain Garden and Green Space Project from the Fulton County Board of Commissioners. As all of you know, Lester Thompson does an outstanding job in securing CDBG funds. Had the opportunity at the State of the City to speak with one of the Fulton County staff members responsible for CDBG, and she told me that Fairburn is her favorite municipality. So Lester does a tremendous job. For our March highlights, we started our staff relocation to the new city administration building, which is still ongoing but nearing completion. Fire Station 23 construction is still ongoing and making good progress. The emergency generators for the new city administration building and fire headquarters slash youth center building projects are in progress. And in the month of April, the emergency generator for utilities is scheduled for the next phase of installation as well. Human resources in March was in partnership with BKS Brokers, hosted our annual 2024 open enrollment, Your Health Matters, employee education sessions for all of our staff so that they could be familiar with their 2024 benefit plan. That included you as members of council as well. Human Resources also worked with the wellness team and hosted the final financial wellness course in our series, Your Wealth, Your Health, on March 14th. We try as best we can to provide those types of enhancements for our staff so that they can have 360-degree positivity. So that Your Health, Your Wealth, Your Health series has helped our staff members to get better information on how to manage finances. Parks and Recreation in March hosted our Fairburn Tea Party on March 15th. We had 80 of our Sensational Seniors to attend. It was outstanding. Everybody was dressed to the nines. We had good music, and a wonderful time was had by all. On the 24th of March, we hosted our Fairburn Egg Hunt. Had over 300 youth participants, among which was our honorable mayor, who was out there with all of our young folks as well. In March 2024, we had a 14% reduction in Part 1 crime compared to March 2023. That makes three consecutive months of reductions compared to the same months in 2023. Also in March, we completed two murals, one with the Go Georgia Arts and Victor Walker. That's the mural on the Fairburn Youth Center located at 149 West Broad Street. It is a wonderful mural. Hopefully all of you have had a chance to see it. Then one of our private property owners included a mural located at 7895 Sonora Road, and that one was completed as well. We also had the alleyway canopy of colors, which we've done previously. We used together visual reflections for Fairburn residents. Organization members and club participants and local organizations collected during creative workshops. Those workshops are ongoing. All of our code enforcement officers in March attended the Georgia Association of Code Enforcement Spring Conference, as they have done for the last several years. Also, the citywide LMIG T-SPLOS resurfacing project that helps to fund all of our road resurfacing went out to bid on March 6th. Those are some of the highlights for the months of February and March, and I will pause there to answer any questions that you may have.
Any member of council have any questions regarding that report? Okay, Mr. Amelia, Chris, would you please give an update on the Georgia Cities Weekend activities that will commence this week?
Absolutely. Well, good evening again, Mayor and City Council. The City of Fairburn kicked off Georgia Cities Week this past Sunday with Fairburn Day at the RenFest. Our next event is scheduled for tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd. It's our Fairburn Fire Department in partnership with Utilities Touch a Truck and Demonstration. It will be held at Fire Station 22 at 149 Southwest Broad Street from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Wednesday, we will have Adopt a Planner program at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And then we will follow that same day with the Wellness Wednesday with Parks and Recreation at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard from 5:45 to 6:45. So please come out and join us for a free workout. On Thursday, we're bringing back Georgia Renaissance Ren Thursdays at the Frankie Arnold Stage and Courtyard from 12 to 2. So we ask you to escape with us to the 16th century for lunch. On Friday and Saturday, our General Services Department will be hosting the Spring Cleanup Day from 9 to 4 at 102 Howe Avenue. It's open and free to all Fairburn residents. So let's all go ahead and clean house. On Saturday, April 27th, Tim Hortons, please come by Tim Hortons and visit with our Fairburn Police Department for a coffee with a cop. It'll take place from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Again, we will have the Shred event here at City Hall on Saturday, April 27th. It's free shredding of all documents for our Fairburn residents from 9 a.m. to 2. And lastly, we will close Georgia Cities Week with our opening day of Alleywave Canopy of Colors. This is a 119-foot community canopy installation. It's along the alleyway next door to our municipal court. The flags that you will see there were decorated by our Fairburn Senior Center, Global Impact Academy, Girl Scout Troop 3802, Black Girls Run, and the Southside Theater Guild. So we ask you to join us at 5 p.m. on Saturday, and this installation will run through May 27th. In addition to that, we are doing a community paint under the canopy that starts at 5. However, there was a pre-registration which sold out in about an hour. Mm-hmm. And so residents have the opportunity to paint canvases done by Mr. Rod Parker, who is actually the artist that completed the sidewalk mural at Campbell Elementary School. So we look forward to everyone coming out. We will have a live DJ, and we hope, in addition to the music, they enjoy the canopy.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much. Next, I'll have City Council comments. I'll start with Mr. Heath.
I'd just like to say that I am so appreciative of the city's ability to help the youth of our area to bring such things as this gardening thing. I think that is phenomenal. For them to actually construct and design and plant the plants, it's just phenomenal. I really appreciate the fact that our employees, as well as the mayor and council, do support the youth of the city, and we will do whatever is necessary to help promote that. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Mr. Smallwood.
Just one comment. Just first year in 8 years that
I've been able to maneuver on Saturdays and Sundays due to the Renaissance Fest. So I just want to thank Chief Pizzillo and his staff for like the best opening ever. I actually went out there and I saw him out there when I came home on Saturday and like, hey, what's going on? And he told me a few strategies he's used and employed. So just thank you for that, because it's like it's not even over there, you know, on those days. So I'm like, whoa. So let's just hope it continues like that. So thank you, Chief, and police. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Hessen?
I want to say thank you to my peer, Councilwoman Jones, for re-echoing the need to bring me up to speed with the finances. We have to understand that we are a at-large council and no member should have a gap in knowledge. We talk about transparency, but that has not been my experience. I want to make sure that this administration understands that you are not disenfranchising Ms. Hudson. You are disenfranchising the voters who elected me. And for 4 months, I've asked for key information that should be readily available to any member of this community. And you all continue to give pushback. But I pledge my continuance to be vigilant, to be persistent, and to be present, echoing the need to review information, not just voting uninformed. It's important that when decisions are made, that they're made with all voices. And so with that being said, I'm going to publicly renew my request for all records, from the police department to financial records. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. This don't have anything to do with you tonight. That's it. Thank you.
Okay. We'll go to Mr. Whitmore.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, again, it was seeing what we saw here at the work session was beautiful with the kids' presentations with their planners. And also, I'd like to mention that it was very much enjoyable for the two ribbon cuttings that we had this month, Tim Hortons and Meineke, looking at two business owners that have come into the city, and they are doing quite well. And for anyone that's listening, remember, we do have Meineke and Tim Hortons, and Meineke does more than just mufflers. And they do an outstanding job. So please, let's continue to support all of our businesses here in the city. They will always be successful as long as we always support them. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Linda Davis?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. First and foremost, I would like to share with you on last Monday, we gave leadership certificates to our new Fairburn Youth Leadership Council, and it was so inspiring. So I was so excited to be here in that attendance for our Fairburn Youth Leadership Council. Also, I would like to also commend Global Impact Academy for their youth and the youth gardeners that we saw tonight. Very impressive with their dedication, their creation, and what they presented to us in reference to the planter box. And lastly, there are not enough words and not enough time for me to really describe about the Third Friday experience. So I just want you to imagine in your mind that I am standing up and applauding for 2 minutes for our staff and everybody involved in the Third Friday. It was amazing.
Thank you. Ms. Porter-Jones.
Yes, Mayor. Thank you so much. I too want to congratulate Global Impact Academy for the Garden Club, and a thank you to Ms. Abernathy for engaging them on the Adopt a Planner. I look forward to a follow-up proposal for them to see how we can be engaged with them as a city. I also want to congratulate the Youth Council and the ceremony that was had. Quite an impressive group of individuals, and I look forward to their future and its impact on our future as well. Thank you to the staff again for the third Friday. I echo what Councilwoman Davis said. It was fantastic. I'd like to say that I believe the third Friday should be the beginning of Georgia Cities Week, the kickoff, because that truly was a community event, and it included our city and neighboring cities. The word has gotten out. That's why we're at the campus and not at, the stage, because we've grown so quickly. And then thank you, Mayor and Council, for the proclamation for National League of Cities and its 100th anniversary. And thank you for the support that you've given me as serving on the board for it. It has had a huge impact on our city as well as cities throughout the country. It was because of the National League of Cities that the ARPA dollars came directly to the city. And then lastly, I want to pin our city clerk with the National League of Cities 100th anniversary pin. So if I may do that, the next person can speak because my 2 minutes are over. But thank you.
You're the last speaker.
No. 30 seconds.
Okay. I'll wait till she comes back then.
Yay!
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll close our meeting with just, in this case, several requests for information from our government. In this case, we're last requested, in this case, on 4-8 at 3:28. And then the city administrator, excuse me, the city attorney's office is actually, in this case, reviewing all requests that's come in, members of council as well as myself. So a lot of the requests that's been had is actually under review by the city attorney's office. I want to thank our city staff for the State of the City address that commenced on a week ago today. I asked that everyone please take time to go and look at that State of the City address with a lot of information that was actually shared about projects, every arena you could think of, every category of our government, and specifically the great job the staff did in every category. I want to also mention the third Friday, as you just mentioned, was a phenomenal success in every category. Several other elected officials and other governments, including candidates running for office, I know it because I personally asked them. They said they enjoyed the event. So I want to just thank them for coming out publicly and supporting our event. Want to say also congrats to Pastor Meyer and Ms. Scott of Recreation. You heard Ms. Davis talk about the Youth Council Award ceremony that took place last Wednesday. So I personally wanted to say thank to those youth that came out and were awarded for their participation. Again, it was just beyond belief the success that we had. Ladies and gentlemen, as we prepare to close, I just want to ask, please go to the website. I believe, Ms. Chris, that Georgia City's schedule is on the website. Please come and support these events as the city staff has gone beyond the call of duty to ensure that we basically advertise Georgia Cities Week and celebrate it with our residents in various departments. So again, please come out to these events and help us make a mark in this city that'll be talked about for decades. With that being said, can I entertain a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? Motion is made and properly second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.